了东西。
You're listening to the Hour of the Time on Two.
And I'm William Cooper.
I thought I was using a
Wow, what was that?
Another interrupt.
What were you going to say?
I thought I was going to say I was listening to the Hour of the Time.
Well, you did that.
I didn't know that. You know what, everyone? Tomorrow, me and my dad are gonna give the toys to Santa to help the other children because I already packed up my toys for Santa.
And whose idea was that?
My idea.
That's right. What made you think of that?
Well, I was thinking about something to help Santa Claus. That's why I wanted to do something for Santa Claus. And I said, why don't I just help Santa to give the toys to Santa to help the other children?
Well, I think that's very nice. Do you think Santa's overworked, maybe?
Well, he might not.
Well, he might be. He's sure got a lot of kids to visit, doesn't he?
Yep. Then he's going to get a lot of toys for the kids because I'm sending them to him.
Well, that's good. I hope he gets them. We'll send them off.
If he doesn't get them, then he won't come to him.
No, I think he'll get them. You want to say the pledge, hon?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, baby. Here we go with another call out of the stations. Can you dig it? Answer the phone, dummy.
Thank you, Pizza.
Yeah, listen, you got any more of those secret agent spy scopes?
Hip parade on the stethoscope.
No, the secret agent spy scope, man. That pulls in the moon, the stars, the planets, and satellites, and the spacemen.
You must have the wrong number, partner.
If you want to jibby jive, bust around, Manny May.
Well, folks, I do not have a program for you tonight because all of us, every single one of us, since early this morning, have been putting labels on newspapers, and they're all, every single one of them, in the mail. They're all out, gone. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have a few left. So if you are not a subscriber and you'd like to get a copy of this issue, send us $3 postpaid. Any issue before number 8, this is issue number 8. All of the other issues are now back issues, and they're $5 per issue for the ones that we have on hand, and I'm not sure which ones those are, so I can't tell you, unfortunately. But if you'd like to know, you can call Veritas. Don't do it until Monday, because Mike and Sharon worked real hard on this issue, and they're gone. And I don't think they're going to be back until Monday. But you can call on Monday and find out what back issues we have, if you wish. The number is 520-337-2878. That's the Veritas number. For those of you who keep sending your subscriptions to me, don't do it, okay? And don't send requests for single issues to me. Send them to Veritas. Veritas is an entity. It's not me. Okay? So please do that. The address for Veritas is Post Office Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. That's P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. Also, tomorrow night, my good friend Anthony J. Hilder and John Daniels, who, by the way, wrote Scarlet and the Beast, the three-volume set, will be speaking in Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas. That's tomorrow night at 6:45 p.m. I should say tomorrow evening. 6:45 p.m. at the Ramada Inn, 7787 Katy Freeway. That's the Ramada Inn, Houston, Texas, tomorrow night at 6:45 p.m., 7787 Katy Freeway. That's the I-10 at the Silver Road and Antoine exit. That's Anthony J. Hilder and John Daniels. I think if you're lucky enough to be able to attend that little gathering, I think you'll come away very happy that you spent the time. And if you get a chance to say hello to Anthony, tell him that I sent my best wishes along with you. What's going on? I don't know. I didn't put anything together. I'm tired. My fingers are, well, they're not now, but they were all day, covered with ink. Papers fresh off the presses are a messy, messy thing to handle, let me tell you. And even poo, all day long, putting labels on papers. And it's another outstanding issue. By the way, there is an entire page of food storage ads. And this is nitrogen-packed, dehydrated food that will last for about 15 years shelf life under average conditions. And average conditions for food storage is stored on a pallet with airspace all around, with average temperatures. That means not extreme heat. Extreme cold is okay, extreme heat is never okay for anything, no matter how it's packed, no matter how it's stored. So the hotter it is, the less shelf life you're going to have, but under average conditions should last about 15 years. Not guaranteed to, but should. It is, and we know it will, last for 5 years with no problem whatsoever. And we managed to be able to give our Veritas subscribers and the members of CAGI and the Intelligence Service substantial discounts. For instance, CAGI and IS members get a 25% discount off the prices in that ad. The listed prices are retail prices. That's what you pay if you're not a CAGI or Intelligence Service member and if you're not a Veritas subscriber. Veritas subscribers can take 15% off those prices. And we will check. So don't think you're going to get away with it if you're not a member or you're not a subscriber sitting in for those discounts. For the family unit, which will feed 4 people for 1 year or 2 people for 2 years, very inexpensively. The retail price, I believe, is $2,800. If you take 25% off of that retail price, ladies and gentlemen, you are getting a $700 discount. Do you hear me? That's how we reward the people who support us, who do the work, who investigate, who research, and we even make discounts possible for our subscribers to the newspaper Veritas, simply because we think it's important. And 15% off those prices is a pretty hefty discount also. So anyway, I thought I'd pass that on to you so that you don't brush by that page. Make sure that you look at it. And if you aren't prepared with a food storage program, you might want to give some serious thought to acquiring some of the merchandise listed in that advertisement. It's Ready Reserve Foods. We work very closely with Jim Newman, who's a wonderful fellow, by the way. And together with his desire to help out and our desire to help you out, and also our desire to support our operations and be able to continue, we're able to make you those offers. I hope you take advantage of them. We're going to take calls tonight because I don't have anything to talk about. I am tired. I don't want to exert my my brain any more than I have to tonight, so you guys can do the talking. I don't care what you want to talk about. We'll talk about it. So the phones are open. The number is 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
This is Jeffrey from New Orleans.
Hello, Jeffrey. I just got your letter today.
Sure. I've just been reading or hearing your series about NASA mooned America.
Uh-huh.
And this is one area where I begin to ask some questions of a different type. Because I am the beneficiary of what NASA did in four areas. And I think I should explain some to people what these areas are since they affect my blindness. First of all, the area of converting light signals into sound has been an area where NASA has been very, very strong. This comes into play especially for blind people who need to identify money. In the past, before the development of money identifiers, in businesses, blind people could easily be shortchanged by unscrupulous people who would come up and tell them that they were giving them $10 bills and $5 bills, when actually they got $1 bills instead.
And that happened quite a bit over the years.
Oh, a lot. Until 1977, when NASA engineers developed a light probe device that actually could tell blind people what money was for this reason. NASA people found out that the pictures on the back of the bill had a pattern which could be converted by sound into a code that would tell blind people what a $5 bill, a $10 bill, and a $20 bill was. And I benefited from that since I used to be in business and use light probes and so on.
Mm-hmm.
The second area that's similar is, of course, the development of devices that allow blind people to read print, starting in 1970 with the Opticon. That's the one where you put a TV camera over the paper and it scans the line and then converts it into feelable letters that come out on vibrating rods. That started a company called Telesensory Inc., which has developed many, many devices, especially the beginnings of talking calculators. Of course, today, talking calculators, you can buy them any place now, but when it first started, Telesensory was the first one to produce it, and that was started by some NASA engineers. And, of course, spinning off from that is the scanning device. You, in your Behold a Pale Horse, you talk about Mr. Kurzweil.
Yes.
Well, Kurzweil made his fame by developing a reading machine for blind people in 1976. But in the early days, that reading machine cost $50,000 and didn't do a good job on certain things. But today, there are three, four companies that produce similar devices now. Kurzweil, Arkenstone, Telesensory. All produce devices that use scanners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean big things like the Hewlett-Packard ScanJet.
Yeah.
That convert the printed material into signals and are now converted into speech on computers. So that's one of the reasons why I could work with some of your material, because I could convert it right into speech and read it right on the scanner.
Yeah, and for those of you out there who think that this is ridiculous, I have a program on my computer that if my eyes are tired, and if you work in front of a computer for several hours looking at a monitor, your eyes get very, very tired. I can just open this program and then open a file, and this program will read the file to me, and I don't have to read it myself.
That's right. And of course, the second area, where the second big area that NASA helped me out on was teaching me to always have a backup system, whatever I did. So, in other words, something in reserve. For example, if the air conditioner breaks down, always have a fan.
Mm-hmm.
If the microwave breaks down, have a stove. If the refrigerator breaks down, have an ice chest. In other words, the big lesson they taught me was, don't leave yourself in a position where you're going to be where you're completely vulnerable and get destroyed. So as far as I'm concerned, maybe NASA mooned America, but I won the race. You know what I'm saying?
NASA did promote a lot of technological development, and I think that it was intended for NASA to waste tremendous sums of money. Some of which, of course, had to produce something useful, or they wouldn't be able to waste the rest of it. And absolutely, a lot of the miniaturization in electronics and other things, hydraulics, in pneumatic systems, in air conditioning, and things of that nature, computerization, were developed by NASA. So you're absolutely right. But the point, we're not trying to belittle any of the good accomplishments that came out of the so-called space race. But I have to tell you, Jeffrey, that all of that money could have been put to more useful purposes, and a lot more things could have been developed if we had not engaged in not all of NASA is a scam either. I don't believe that. And I do believe that we have put people out in space. But I don't think that it was done with the program that the American people were looking at. I think it was done with the secret space program that DARPA was running.
Well, I'll tell you this. The way they did it, or the way they told us they were doing it to go to the moon, was not the way that was originally proposed by a German rocket engineers, especially a fellow by the name of Willy Ley. I don't know if you remember him. Willy Ley was one of the ones who came over after World War II.
Yes,
what he suggested was that first we build space stations out in space, and then from there go to the moon, rather than try to do it the way we did, where we, and I'm using NASA's own idea, where they came out and then separated and then reconfigured the booster, etc., into the space Apollo capsule. Now, I will tell you this. I did have eyewitnesses who did see the Apollo flight to and from the moon where NASA told you the Apollo rockets would be.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if there was fake pictures, I can't dispute it because I could never see it. It may have been done partially because they couldn't get cameras on the moon. They had to show you something in order to be able to at least show the public what they were supposedly trying to do. And that's about the best I can say about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just figured I'd call in to try to balance out, because there may be people out there who get the impression that NASA was a complete waste of time, which I don't think it was.
Well, in some areas it wasn't. But I think in the tremendous amounts of money that were put into NASA, for what came out of it, it was a scam that should not be allowed. It should not be overlooked. It should not be forgiven. It should not be allowed to happen again.
Well, we got to get the politics out of it and get government away. That's the real lesson of the thing.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I don't, like I said, I've told you many times, and people misinterpret what they hear in this broadcast. I've never said that we didn't go to the moon. What I've said is I don't think that NASA is responsible for putting us on the moon. NASA may have sent rockets to the moon. They may have sent astronauts to the moon. If they did, why did they fake all the photographs? Why are the photographs faked? Why would they do such a thing? Why is a lot of the science that they've given us phony? Why do they have on development in NASA, on the drawing boards, a Mars airplane when they tell us that there's no atmosphere on Mars that would support an airplane in flight? All of these kinds of things blow it. I mean, it just blows them right out of the saddle. If they had told us the truth all these years, then there would be no problem. Even if they wasted money, But when we can prove that they've lied about many different things and they fake photographs, and we could prove that beyond any shadow of a doubt to anybody, that's just incredible. There's no justification for that kind of a thing. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Bill in Gilmanton, New Hampshire.
Hello, Bill.
How you doing? I'm new to shortwave, so you have to forgive my ignorance.
Well, we only have one rule. We don't care if you're ignorant, as long as you're not stupid.
Try not to be. I was married once. That was enough for me. I guess I'm not stupid anymore.
Well, I don't know. I've got a happy marriage. And so do a lot of other people that I know.
The other night, you got a bit worked up about somebody calling you, or a couple people called you, and they didn't fully understand what your show was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Could you occasionally, or at least once, for my benefit, if nobody else's, re-explain what your show is all about, where you stand, and what you're up to? That would be a lot of help, I think, for a new shortwave.
Well, the problem with that is we get new shortwave people all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't like to repeat things all the time. I do it usually, I don't know, every 2 or 3 weeks.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I've been listening for longer than that, and I've only heard little bits and pieces of your standing and this and that. And I'm trying to put it together in my mind, but
what I'm trying to do is, really, I'm not trying to educate new listeners. I'm not trying to deal with people who are lost in the fantasy land. What I'm trying to do, because I did that for so many years, and I'm just tired of doing it. It's not that the people aren't worth it. It's just that I'm tired of doing it. I don't want to do it anymore. So I concentrate on building the level of knowledge and education and awareness of people who are already what we consider awake.
Okay. So well, may I ask you this? May I present myself to you this way? I am very conservative, very, very conservative. Am I listening to the right man? By the sounds of it, I am, but...
Well, I don't know what you mean by very conservative. You know, I listen to people in Washington who tell me they're conservative and they're stupid, bloody socialists, and it really yanks my chain.
Well, I don't know how to explain myself to you, except I can pick out, I think I can pick out many, many things on every ABC, CBS, NBC broadcast. You can just tell the way they present things, in the order of which they present things. I can see their slant. I can see their twist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Reaganite. But you're not. You're sort of non-political, really, aren't you?
Yes, because I've learned in my life that politics is not what people believe it to be. From my observations, there's not one iota's bit of difference between the Republican and the Democratic Party. No matter which one is in power, whether it's in Congress or in the White House, we still move toward a socialist world government. And I don't think that it's by accident either. In fact, I can prove that. It's all laid out in the law. It's no conspiracy. It's all happening in the open. It's intended to be. They want world government. It's going to be socialist. They've written about it. They've said it. They've outlined it. Just that most of the average people never read those things, so they don't know it.
Even with a Reagan or a Pat Buchanan type of...
Oh, absolutely. When Reagan was in Hollywood, when he was the head of the Screen Actors Guild, his nickname was Red Ronnie. Did you know that?
Well, I know he went to trial, but he blew them right out of the water, as far as I know.
Well...
I was only a kid then. I don't remember.
Yeah, but the problem with that is, see, Ronald Reagan didn't help this country. What he did was take a lot of money that we didn't have and spend it. And, of course, everybody loved that because it gives the illusion of prosperity. And everybody thinks they're getting a piece of the pie. What they don't understand is somebody's going to have to pay back that piece of pie with all the interest that it accrues. In his administration alone, he spent more money than every administration in the history of this nation cumulatively ever spent. And sure, everybody loved Ronald Reagan because he threw money at the American public. He made the national debt what it is now. And I got to tell you, it's never going to be paid back. We can't even pay the interest on the damn thing. So Ronald Reagan sounded nice. He was a great storyteller. But he spent us into oblivion.
I saw him as being anti-socialist, anti-communist, 100%. I saw him at that time as being the savior, or the beginning of saving our country. And I was, you're telling me I'm dead wrong.
Well, I'm not telling you you're dead wrong. I'm telling you that I believe that that man destroyed the chances of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of having any kind of a good future, because as the debt continues to escalate because of the interest that it accrues, they're going to have to pay it all back in some manner that they can't even afford. Right now, today, my family's share and your family's share of the national debt is over $60,000. Can you afford that?
No.
Of course not.
Well.
and you can thank Ronald Reagan for that.
Well, golly, been nice talking to you. Hey, evening. I thought, you know, honest to God, there's so much to learn. There's just so much to absorb.
Yeah, there is. If you really want to know what this program is all about, here's what I try to do. I encourage everybody to listen to everyone, read everything, believe nothing unless they can prove it. And that includes me. I'm trying to dig up the truth and to relay as much of that truth to the American people as I can, whether it doesn't matter who it hurts or helps, even if it hurts me. In other words, if the truth supports liberalism tonight, then I'll support that portion of liberalism tonight. If the truth supports conservatism tomorrow, then that's what I will support tomorrow. Whatever the truth is what I'm going to support. I'm not going to support anybody's agenda. I'm not going to support any political party except the political party that furthers truth and liberty for all people of all religions and all races and all colors and all creeds. That's what I support. And that's what I care about, and that's what I'll give my all to.
I can only agree with that. But just one last question before I let you go.
Sure.
Have you heard the Rush Limbaugh Coop test? I have to tell you right up front, I passed that test with flying colors. I only answered no to one of his 10 questions.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with his Coop test?
I heard it one day, and while I was traveling, I listened to Rush because he makes me laugh. And he does uncover some rocks once in a while, but he never really identifies the real enemies or gets to the real problems. He never discusses anything about the Federal Reserve, about our money system, you know, all of those things that he should be talking about. And he's said over and over again, and he's been very honest about it. He says that he's an entertainer. I remember him one day saying that if he could get a bigger piece of the pie, I think he was talking about ratings, and I think he used the word ratings. If he could get better ratings by espousing the liberal point of view, he would start tomorrow. That was his exact words.
So you have no feelings on his Coop test as such?
Well, I remember hearing it, but I don't remember exactly what it was. I didn't.
Oh, do you believe in black helicopters, and do you believe in conspiracies and this and that? And I believe in all of those. I think they're all going on. It's how much more obvious can it be that there are conspiracies when you watch the news?
Oh, absolutely, I believe in all of those things. I've seen the black helicopters.
So you and I are both kooks. Excellent.
Yeah.
I don't feel so bad anymore.
Yeah. Well, you're in good company here.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much for all your help. You have a good night.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay, the number is 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. I can't tell you how honored I am to talk to you. I listened to you just recently before you had washed your hands of the sheeple. It's since mid-July, and I just can't believe all the things that you have been talking about, and I can't wait to get my first copy of Veritasis.
Well, it's a lot more fun to talk about these things rather than try to begin at the bottom and wake up a bunch of people who are still walking around Disneyland with their e-ticket. They don't even know the rides are closed.
Well, I had a question. I've been listening to Tom Valentine, and I was wondering if you had heard about that military helicopter that supposedly was hit by that microwave pulse that hit the that killed those men, and they were found burned. And
I know about the incident. We have all the information. I'm not sure that it was a microwave that hit it, and I don't think anybody can prove that. But that's the allegation that's being made by some people. I don't know exactly why it crashed. I do know that people were burned and things were burned, but I was reared in an Air Force family, and I know when aircraft crash, everything burns.
Uh-huh.
including people and equipment and everything else.
Well, they've made some allegation that they've removed all their watches to eliminate some kind of time frame reference, and that none of these watches were found on any of the on the bodies, but they had their personal effects, like their coins and wallets. And
why would they remove a watch?
Well, that's what they were saying. They didn't know why they were doing it, and they were saying that they thought that it was because it would have given away something about why they were shot down. Or
did you ever consider that the watches may have been government property?
Well, that's true too.
That's a consideration. I don't know whether they were wearing watches they bought or government-issued watches. I don't know.
Okay, sir. Well, I do appreciate your time, and I look forward to getting my copy of Veritas, and God bless you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for calling. I'm not trying to throw a cold towel over, what you heard on Tom Valentine. I wasn't listening to it. I don't know what was said, but I do know this. We've looked into these allegations, and I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm just saying that whatever happened is not really known by anybody. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I'm calling from Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
Got a comment and a couple of questions. I appreciate your daughter being on the show every once in a while. I think it brings a different feel to the show. It helps us all, reminds us all that there's something more than this present generation for those who say, yes, this may be coming true, but not in my lifetime, which I've heard 100 times. Our families, of course, are the reason we're in this fight, I think.
That's right, and that's why I like to have her on the program, is to remind everybody that, I'm going to be dead in a few years, and probably nobody in the world is going to remember me, but my daughter and your daughter and everybody else's daughter and son are still going to be here, and they've got to live with what we leave them.
Yes, my little girl's just about the age of yours, and I do appreciate you having her on. It brings an entirely different reality check, I think, to the programming. Second, I've only been a listener for about a year, and you make a lot of reference to reading materials that are out there, writings of Mao and Gorbachev and others. I think it would be helpful for those of us who recognize our ignorance to have a reading list that you might put together for some references that we could get started on. Do you have anything like that published?
No, I don't. I've got some references listed in my book. And one, I think 2 years ago, we did a broadcast, just 1 hour of a bibliography that I recommended to my listeners.
Okay. I've got the list of the back shows. I'll just order that tape then. That'll be a good deal.
Okay.
Lastly, the program that you ran some months ago on the there's a 3-segment program on the occult foundations of Nazism.
Yeah.
That sounded like it was an audio track from an old 8mm, 16mm tape. Is that in fact what it was?
I don't know where it came from. Somebody sent that to me. It is from a videotape, I believe, and I don't know where the videotape came from. It may have come from an old film. But it's an excellent primer to allow people to understand that this New Age movement is not new. This New Age movement occurred in Nazi Germany in the 30s. The exact same thing. The same beliefs. The same buzzwords, the whole bit, and the whole Nazi regime was built upon an occult foundation.
I would really like to see the video track from that. I think it would really be sounds like there's, because he goes silent for a few seconds, and obviously there must be some something on the screen. I would really like to see that sometime. I didn't know if you had it or were working on getting it or what.
No, it's I even forget the name of the occult, something of the Third Reich.
Right. Foundations, I believe.
Yeah. But anyway, the video has the same name as the series of broadcasts that we did.
And similarly for the series of the Illuminati and the Merovingian Kings, that guy's accent was so thick I could only pick up about 80% of what he said over the radio.
Are you talking about the three night series on the Illuminati?
Yes.
That's a long-playing record that was produced by my friend Anthony J. Hilder back in 1966 or something like that. And it was narrated by Myron Fagan, who was a very famous, very prominent Hollywood figure back then. And he was he got far enough in with the inner circle to be able to put that together. I don't agree with everything that he said, but I believe that there's enough said there that I know to be true that it needed to be heard by the listening audience.
Oh, yeah. No, this, what I'm referring to is something different. I believe this is a two-night series on where the Illuminati came from, the Merovingian kings. I'm trying to think of the rest of it.
Are you talking about the Templars?
Yes, that's it, yes. Is there a video that goes with that, or...?
Oh, yeah, what's the name of that? The Trail of the Templars or something like that. I forget now.
Okay.
But we used that at our convention, at our seminar in St. John's this year. And then we did two nights on the air with it, which gives you a background into the history of the beliefs of these people concerning the fact that they believe that Jesus didn't die on the cross, that he did produce children with Mary Magdalene. The children were brought to France and produced the bloodline of the Merovingian kings, and Mary Magdalene and her children were brought to the continent by Joseph of Arimathea, who also was supposed to have spirited out of the Middle East the Holy Grail, or the cup that Jesus drank out of the Last Supper, and all of these things. Most of it is fantasy. Some of it is metaphor. Some of it is based upon fact. But it gives you an idea into the belief structure of some of the people that we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that guy's accent was pretty thick, and as I said, it came across the radio pretty rough, and I wasn't able to understand part of it. So I was wondering if perhaps
he's English. It's one of the authors of Holy Blood, Holy Grail. His name is Lincoln.
Okay, maybe what I'll do is send in the tape of that as well then.
Yeah.
Okay.
All of our tapes are studio quality stereo tapes, and there's no shortwave static.
Well, even across KDNO once in a while, there's some, it's not static, but there is some almost overmodulation or some kind of interference that renders the signal a little bit rough at times. So, great. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Well, let me see here. What am I doing? I'll do that at the end. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I really enjoyed your programs on NASA. I just got a couple of thoughts on that. The waste of money over the past 20-some-odd years by NASA and our so-called space program is one of the great national tragedies, probably the greatest national sin that this country ever committed. And I just think that these great inventions that the blind gentleman was talking about could have been done here on Earth, and whether they went to the moon or not has done humanity no good whatsoever. And I just think, you know, that it was a waste.
Well, let me tell you two things that they believed that it did good. It gave man a look at where he lives from the moon, thus creating the conscious realization, is the way they put it, that we all live together on one planet, and therefore we should drop all of our national boundaries and all of our divisions and come together under one world government. Number two, if we could leave the Earth and travel through space and walk upon the moon, somebody who lives on some other planet somewhere else in the universe could have come here. And it supports the premise that we're being visited by extraterrestrials from some other planet who are vastly technologically superior to us and therefore represent a threat. The threat, in order to be countered, has to produce a world government to speak for planet Earth and to meet that threat.
just as Gorbachev and Reagan agreed to defend Earth in case of an invasion, that was part of the whole plan.
That was all part of it.
And anyway, it's just, you know, to get tennis shoes and orange juice, it was a heck of a waste of money. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for calling. The number is 520-333-4578. If you'd like to get in on this little discussion, good evening. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Cooper. I have a cold. Sorry to have a horse in which, but I have a cold. My name's Joe. I don't know how to figure you out. Some days you sound cold and mean and harsh, and some days you sound like a decent guy. Now, I'm not trying to belittle you or anything, but I'd like to discuss some things with you because I am blind also, like Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you, and I understand your view, and please, you know, don't take this as offense. You don't believe in socialism, right?
I despise socialism.
Okay. What happens to the people like myself and some others who have unfortunately come from broken homes? I realize you love your daughter and take care of her, and you're going to pay her medical bills, that live off the Social Security system that was brought up that way, that are trying to get the help we need and the training, and all those things that Charlie talked about are expensive. I recently applied for a job with a small, now you may think this is crazy, but it's not, company as a flight attendant. A sightless person can do it. I've talked to some people, but they want to get government funding, and people are uncomfortable, and all of these computers and stuff are expensive and stuff for us. Now, I'm getting a money machine if I ever get the $500, because I live on a small amount of money. What would you do if you were President Cooper? You see, this is why I called and brought this up. How would you handle cases like ours who are on disability, want to get the help we need? We live on a low income because we're on Section 8. Of course, the government does help us out a little. I'm for good government, so is Ivy. I mean, what is your solution? How would you handle things?
Well, number one, I don't believe in welfare.
Me either.
Number two, I don't believe in the government paying disability. I don't believe in the government funding projects to take care of people. I believe that that should be handled on a local level by the communities in which you live.
But don't you think that's far-fetched? And I'm not trying to be cruel or rude.
I don't think it's far-fetched at all. Where do you think the money comes from?
I agree with you, but people aren't that way. People aren't charitable. Charlie happens to have a very good business, and he's very fortunate to have these. I wish local agencies, local community would help people, too. There would be a lot more employment. And like this, these computers for us are horribly expensive. Veritas, of course, is not in Braille. It would cost you a fortune to put it in Braille. If you've ever seen Braille, you know how big it is.
Yeah, it would cost us a fortune.
It would cost us
a fortune just to put it on tape.
Yeah. Where does one get catalogs? But so if you were if you were President Cooper, would you roll back the War Powers Act like Mr. Collins, and would you try and see that local communities do help people?
Absolutely, certainly, but it has to be done on a local level. And let me tell you why.
You've got so much corruption, and this is why sometimes I get angry with you.
You think there's not corruption in the federal government?
Well, of course there is.
There's not only corruption in the federal government; it's worse than that. You see, all of the money comes out of the hands of the local people anyway.
Yes, I know.
And if you think that taking the money out of your pocket and sending it all the way to Washington just to have it come back to you to do something that you could have done yourself, that you're getting something for free, or you're getting better service, or you're getting any kind of legitimate service, you're wrong. Because most of the money in making that big circle disappears.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to. But I'm saying to you, how would you handle it? Like
it does have to. It can't make that circle without losing money, because it has to pay the big bureaucracy that supports the circle. If you took the money out of your pockets on the local level and supported the same things that you're asking the federal government to do for free, thinking that it's free and it's not, it's costing you a fortune.
Yeah.
If you did it, you could fund so much more and help so many more people and provide so many more jobs for people in that local community that it would just make this country so prosperous and so much better off.
Well, Mr. Cooper, people are ignorant of blind people. They still don't understand this. Like if your daughter does something wrong when she gets older, you know how kids get in and out of trouble, there's a double standard in this country. plus insurance for us is so hard to get. How would you handle the insurance craze, like for medical? I need medical attention. I can hardly get the medical attention.
Well, I think one of the reasons that we have high costs in medicine is because of insurance.
Okay, so you don't believe in insurance, right? Am I saying it right?
Let me tell you something. I can go down to the local doctor here and get the same service that people get who have insurance for about one-fifth of the cost that it costs them because the doctor knows I don't have insurance. He charges me a reasonable fee, and he bilks the hell out of the insurance company.
Yeah, well, up here, doctors don't. Do you have to have insurance? Like some of us have.
That's because you've got such a population base there that for him to live comfortably, he doesn't have to care about you. But I live in a very small town in a rural area, and this doctor to live at the level that he wants to live at can't afford to tell anybody to take a hike.
Well, that's good, but that's just a small town. But what, let's say you're in the
hospital.
But see,
you just proved my point.
Okay.
It's because of the insurance company that medical bills are so high.
What do people do, though, in your system, in this?
Get rid of the medical insurance completely altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors are then going to have to reevaluate their level of living. And if they want to live at all and have any patients at all, they're going to have to charge reasonable fees that people can afford.
That's an awful lot to ask.
No, it's not. That's the way it used to be for doctors in this country, and they used to even make house calls.
Oh, I agree with you. They were nice. Now they're very. You have to go to a...
And it always happens when you've got somebody whom they can milk for money. And that's the insurance companies.
Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. They killed that girl. She did all the right things, and they overdosed her. But I'm saying, so you say get rid of the insurance. What would happen if you were in the hospital for 8 months or 6 months? Would you, work out a payment plan or something?
Absolutely. My family doesn't have any medical insurance.
Yeah, really?
Really?
I didn't know this.
We don't have any medical insurance, no.
Wow.
We pay all of our medical bills. I paid every penny for Pooh's birth, the hospital, doctor, everything.
Well, you live in a little town. I guess that helps.
Well, it helps, but I'll tell you something else that helps is getting off of this victim kick and learning to be responsible for yourself.
A lot of us have done that, and they won't hire us. They won't want to spend the money, like with the TSPS telephone equipment boards.
I'll guarantee you there's somebody who will hire you if you will give them a good day's work, whether you can see or not.
How do you deal with the income tax? Because everyone I've talked to says we are going to take out if we do hire.
My friend, I'm not a taxpayer.
No, the IRS.
I'm not a taxpayer.
You're not?
No.
How do you do that?
Very simple. I'm not a taxpayer.
But don't they put you in jail?
No, they don't put me in jail.
Then you must know how to do the legal paperwork and all this.
I know who I am. I know who they are. I know what the law is. I understand the whole bit. I don't have a Social Security number. I don't play their game.
Because I've mentioned that, and people are scared. And of course, you know what Ivy went through. That's probably because of her radio show. I showed her brief to someone.
I know what Ivy went through, but Ivy didn't go to jail either, and she is not a taxpayer either.
But she says she has spent time in jail because of the IRS.
Well, she may have, but it was only like a couple of nights. You know?
But everybody has, you're saying everybody has to get involved, and not just one or two people. Everybody has to carry the ball.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's what I just wanted to understand, and just to get that cleared up. Where can we get tapes, and how do we get copies of tapes? Is there a catalog?
Tapes of what?
Tapes of your shows.
Oh, send us $1 in a self-addressed stamped number 10 size envelope, and we'll send you a list of materials and tapes. And
are they videos and audios, too?
Some of them are, yeah.
And where do we send this to?
Send it to P.O. Box 1420.
Do we put attention?
No, just send it to the intelligence service.
Okay.
If you send a check or money order, make it out to Annie.
Yep.
And send it to the intelligence service, P.O. Box 1420. Sholo, Arizona.
Yep.
85901.
Number 10 envelope, and put a little note in there requesting a tape catalog.
Yeah, along with $1.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, and I just wanted to clear up something because all this stuff for us is horribly expensive, like talking money machines. There's a new one out now for $500. It's made in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's funded partially by the government too. But
that's probably why it costs $500.
And these computers for us go from any Arkansas sells it for $4,000 or $5,000, and of course you need training. I've never use the computer too well.
Let me tell you something. If I can buy a state-of-the-art 486 good computer that I can do just about anything on, there's no excuse for charging you $5,000 for a computer because you're blind.
Well, but that's the way it is, you see.
I know that's the way it is, but the only reason it's the way it is because they know somebody is funding the purchase of that, not you.
I see. You say the local communities, would, if you were president, should would kick in. You feel that
that's right, and they would put these things up for bid. It would be competitive because they don't give their money away.
Oh.
And that price would come down from $5,000 to some reasonable amount that you could afford to pay.
Is that like the telephone companies that they're all fighting with each other? That's why the rates are lower in some cases?
That's right. Until then, man, when AT&T had the monopoly on the telephones in this country.
Do whatever they want.
That's right.
And how would you handle Section 8, the people that are on Section 8 or that are temporarily out of work? You said you would get jobs back if you could, and our community should get involved and would, I hope. How would the rents drop too? Because there's
well, in the first place, I have no idea what Section 8 is.
Well, you live on Social Security and you get a small stipend, SSI for some, and the government pays part and you pay part of the rent.
Social Security is one of the biggest scams there ever has been in history. They're telling you that if you pay into this fund,
well, this is SSI, Social Supplemental Income.
Okay, where does that come from?
Disability, I think. I'm not sure.
But where does the money come from?
The government. Oh, people.
People, that's right.
That's all right.
But, you know, I'm sick now. I'm getting it for free. The government's going to take care of it. The government's not taking care of anybody. You're taking care of yourself, and you've been scammed into believing that the government is taking care of you. But the only thing wrong with it is by the time you give the government the money and any portion of it comes back to you, most of it has disappeared in the bureaucracy.
Do you know that if you get hired at $6 or they start you off at $5 or $6 an hour, they will take some of that money out of your SSI check so your rate will be lower and your rent will increase? That's why if they hire you, they should pay you a good wage so you can pay, because my rent, some of our rents will shoot up to $600 or $700. That's the way the system works.
If small businesses and companies and corporations didn't have to pay all that they have to pay to take care of the requirements of the government in running their business and paying taxes and bilking you out of money to send to the government, they could afford to pay a decent wage.
And then people would be employed. Would you get rid of the FBI or Secret Service like Mr. Collins would? He would try and get rid of them.
Absolutely. There is no constitutional justification for either one of them. Not only that, but I have a deep suspicion that the Secret Service is not what it pretends to be. It is not listed in the law as an agency of the Department of the Treasury, which they claim to be.
Yeah, I know
and
that.
If they were, they would have to be listed in the organization of the Department of Treasury in the law, and they're not.
David.
So maybe they belong to somebody else, and maybe the president is really, really held hostage
by
these.
Well, David Hinkson feels that they killed Kennedy. They were involved in the killing. I don't know whether you hear him. He's on after.
I have no doubt about it. I was the first one in this country that ever made that statement.
I just wanted to get your views and just to clear up, because sometimes I hear you say sheeple, and I think, boy, what kind of a man is this? Is he so cold? And he says he's a
let me tell you something. When
no, I don't know you. And you know,
when we're young kids, and we do something wrong, and our parents know that if they don't discipline us when we do something wrong right then and there, that we're going to grow up to be some kind of horrible creature or end up in jail. Are they cold and heartless when they discipline us?
No, but there's a right way.
Absolutely not.
See, there's a right way and wrong.
The only way I have is with my voice through this microphone.
Okay.
And if by calling you a sheeple, I can push enough buttons to get you up off your butt to go check out what I say and find out that you really are a sheeple, then that's exactly what I'll do.
Now, the research material, a lot of this stuff is, how does one who is sightless do the research? I guess he or she would need help, right? Because a lot of this is in print. I asked the librarian one time to help me find someone's name through one of those discs, you know, they have.
Uh-huh.
She was very reluctant, but she did it because she was busy.
She did it because she has to.
Yeah.
Part of her payment for her job is to help people who come into the library.
Well, she didn't want to do it. I said, well, I can't see to read the print on the, you know, compact disc. It took her 3 days, but I got the number.
Good.
But you see, we have to get rid of, we have to get all the, people have to get involved and everybody has to work together. I guess that's what you're trying to say.
Absolutely, yes. But it's against human nature because most people want to seek the easy way out. That's why socialism is so attractive. It promises that if you'll give up your liberty and your freedom and do what Daddy says, Daddy will take care of you, Daddy being the state.
How much did your computer cost? Because I priced with the guy that if I had the money, he would teach me. I said $5,000. And how good of your speech? Can you demonstrate it sometime? Is it a deck talk that goes for $1,100? And that's a very good speech. But I've heard some of these, and it has trouble pronouncing words. I guess there's a special program or something.
Well, it's not like me or you talking, but I can understand it perfectly.
Okay.
I have no problem with it. It sounds like a computer is what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, see, I mean, I've heard so many of them. There's a fellow who's crippled who has an excellent program. It pronounces the English language perfectly. He was on PBS, but they had to get a special program, and it ran big bucks, you know, because, like, you can't pronounce, like Jones or Shones or Holmeson, or say Shomeson, you know what I mean. They have to reprogram it to pronounce it properly and spell it differently. You know? But this, yeah. These programs are some.
I hate to tell you this, but we're out of time. I got to let you go.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, I want you to call Swiss Match Trading tonight. Tell them that you're a listener to the Hour of the Time and that you'd like to have a current copy of their newsletter. And explore the possibilities of taking a part of what you have now and putting it into real money so that if things get really bad, and I can tell you right now, it's going to happen, that you won't suffer like so many people are going to suffer. And I can guarantee you it's going to happen. Most people are in hock. So much that if they sold every single thing they owned, they'd be lucky if they had $2,000 of the funny money to put in their pocket. And a lot of people wouldn't have even a penny. They'd still be in hock. They would still owe money. Very, very few people really own what they have. And even they don't own it. So, call Swiss America Trading. Get your hands on some real money. Take care of business. Take care of protecting your assets and your family, your loved ones, and, of course, yourself. It's 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Good night, folks. And, well, let me see here. What are we going to do for a shuffle on down to Buffalo? I don't even know where I'm at now. Let's just do this. I'll just run it up and punch it. Good night, and God bless you all.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on up the fire with me.